around Miss Angela, that's all you see. Ours is done. I think our youngest one is 11. And we got a great-granddaughter. But been good to be here. Always good to be. Sweet, sweet spirit. Reminds me so much of the church I pastored so many years, even in the song services and stuff like that. And I know a lot of his hearts kind of needed with the people from Glory Land. And so that's pretty neat, too. Through my ministry, my best friend is 2,000 miles from me. I got a good buddy, but he lives in Canada. You know, I got a good buddy, but he's in Honduras. And kind of like Jesus, did a prophet not have honor in his own country? Well, no, he didn't. Well, me and Miss Myers decided that we need a couple of men to meet here about 4 o'clock in the morning to help tie that mattress on top of that SUV. Because we're going to try to sneak out of here with it. It's pretty nice, I tell you. It's she got arthritis problems, and she going around the country so much, I'd always take, if a mattress felt good, you know, I'd take a picture of the brand, and man, we need to get us one of these, and we don't ever. And so, and Bat Kay appreciates that. I tell him, Mr. Martin, I need to put a bar in there so I can hang upside down when I sleep. All righty, go with me to John chapter 15. Yeah, I forgot about that. Too much going on up here.
Sound man gets me the same way.
They made a big sign out of my, well, you've had it probably pressed on
you. Turn your mic on.
Turn mic on. John chapter 15, and kind of wrestle around with what to preach tonight. When I go out, I try to help the church. That's what I want to do. I want to help the church. And I'm telling you, the church needs help in the days we're living in. Amen? And it's all we can do. I mean, I've had a few people saved through the years, but most of my ministry has been helping Christians, encouraging Christians and pumping Christians up. You say, well, if they're right with God, they wouldn't be there. Well, that ain't true either.
Yeah, right.
You're right with God, it's probably why you are there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Devil beating your brains out.
You're right.
I said John, didn't I? I was good in Acts, though, if I'd have read it. I want to preach on this thought on how are the recipe for a successful Christian life.
Yeah, amen.
And I think that we sometime, or some folks do, that it just happens. It don't just happen.
Right.
You can be saved, forgiven, blood washed, born again, headed to heaven, and yet not have a good Christian life. And I believe this part of the country is full of them. I know my part is. I mean, the gospel has been preached down and through here for, you know, got 200 years, reckon. But there's a recipe found here in John 15. And I believe we'll follow it. When you come to the end of the road, you'll think, well, you know, like Paul said, he said, I've finished my course.
Yeah, right.
And Paul said this, he said, I am ready. How many people have you stood by their bedside that said that, I'm ready? I've stood by a few people's bedside that said, I wished I'd have done more.
Right.
My brother died in our house of cancer about 30 years ago, and he got saved when I was in Bible school. He came down there, moved his family down there, and got saved. But one of the last things he spoke to me and Miss Meyer was, I always wanted a good Christian family and be in church.
Mm.
But he never done it. Always put it off. Well, God called me to preach when I was a young man, but you put it off. Put it off. Amen. So I want to show you some things tonight that I believe will help to you. Look what Christ said in verse 4, starting about verse 4. He said, abide in me, and I in you. Now, that's not that you can lose your salvation. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Now, most of you know that if you go out on your peach tree, if you have one, or apple tree, and just cut a limb off, throw it in the yard next year, guess what? There ain't going to be no apples on it.
That's right.
There ain't going to be no peaches on it. Right. Amen? Right. You've got to abide. That thing has got to stay drafted into that tree.
Right.
Right. Amen. And that's what he's talking about there. You cannot live the life you want to live apart from Christ and the teachings of Christ and the people of Christ and stuff like that, and except to be a good fruit bearer. But look what he said, abide in me, and except ye abide in me, no more can you, ye, except ye abide in me. So you got to be hooked up to the source. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Amen? He that abideth in me, and I in him. That's a union. That's a yoke. Amen? You know, it's always amazed me. I appreciate my Savior, appreciating my salvation. I appreciate the mere fact that he answers my prayers, the ones that he wants to answer.
Yeah.
Don't be sucked in thinking every prayer you pray is going to get answered. Some prayers you pray, you get on down the road about 10 years and say, thank God he didn't answer that one.
Yeah, right.
Amen. He knows more than we know.
Yeah.
He knows more than we know. But it says there, he's going to bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
That's right.
And that's true.
Yes, sir.
You can do a whole lot of things without Christ that appears to be for Christ.
Right.
And it won't be.
Yeah, right.
It'll be things that might even bring glory to Christ, but God wasn't in it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go over here and start this work, and I'm going to do this and that, and God ain't 100 miles of it.
Yeah, right.
So you got to be very careful with that.
Amen.
And let God lead you and guide you.
Right.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you.
Mm-hmm.
We're living among the most ignorant church,
yes,
that's ever been on earth when it comes to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
This is the most unlearned bunch of Christians that's ever been saved. You say, why? I don't know why. It could be social media.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the fact that people are now selling books. We finally closed our bookstore down there at Glory Land. Before I left, they closed it down and sold the books. Why? People don't read no more. I mean, you know, and to find a young man that's actually reading a book that will help him spiritually is very, very hard to do. You can sit down with a computer if you have that ability, and you can put together an hour-long sermon with all kind of illustrations, all kind of scriptures, and I mean melt that thing together and get up and preach it, but there's one thing missing. That touch ain't there.
Yeah, right.
Anointing ain't on it.
Right.
Amen? And if you use that sort of thing that's available to do that, I'm not preaching against you, you know, but I just like my Bible.
Yeah. Yeah,
something
amen.
About my Bible.
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
I just like my Bible.
Yes, sir.
I was sleeping with my Bible out in Houston. When my wife ain't with me, I sleep with my Bible.
Yeah.
You say you're crazy. There ain't been no stories about me passed around. Been no rumors about me going around. But I hopped up one morning and had to fly out of Houston up to Calvary, Canada, and left my Bible on the bedspread. Left it in the bed. And this Bible's got probably 200 sermons. Just marked all the pieces. Boy, my heart. When I got to the airport, checked in, you know. You got to be there. I sat down to read my Bible before I caught a flight, and I didn't have it. And boy, my heart sunk.
Yes,
and I was at it about 3 or 4 months, and finally Brother Green brought it to me or gave it to me or something when I was out there or somewhere. I went up there and preached a week's camp meeting without my Bible. You might ought to get that thing embedded in here pretty good.
Yes, sir.
You say, no, I used a Bible, but I didn't have my Bible.
Right.
It's something about your Bible.
Yeah.
But he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be. Now look here, it don't say given. It says done. You know, most of our prayers are just senseless. Most of our prayers is I want.
Yeah.
It's like going to Bojangles and just pull up to the drive-in window and just tell everything you want. They hand it out the window. Amen. And sometimes God, you praying to God's like that. Mm-hmm. Amen. But he said, it shall be done unto you. When's the last time you prayed, God, fill my heart with love for you? Yeah. God, give me a burden for the souls of men. Yeah. God, help me fall in love with this church.
Yeah.
God, help me win my my in-laws to the Lord. Yeah. Amen? Instead of give me, give me, give me.
Yeah,
now, he will meet you giving too.
Mm-hmm.
God, I prayed in everything in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. Why? You ain't got no money, you learn to pray.
Yeah.
Some of y'all got money, you don't know much about praying.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Old car break down, you don't know nothing except, you know, well, I go get it fixed. Now, you have to pray a little while and probably then go get it fixed.
Yeah.
But he said his word. Now, herein, in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. And that's what we want to do, bring honor and glory to him. That ye bear much fruit. You got more fruit. Verse 5, you got more fruit. Verse 8, you got much fruit.
That's right.
So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so love I you. Continue ye in my love. Now, I want to preach a little bit on that thought there. I don't know about you, but I'm coming down. I probably might have another 10 years. Might not have another 10 minutes. I mean, just due to age. But, you know, I want to look back and say, you know, I think I helped some folks. I think I touched some lives. I think I made a difference.
Yeah, right.
Amen? But a lot of people, they'll come in here and leave out the other end. I ain't talking about preachers. I'm talking about just the average Christian person. And they'll leave out the other end of this thing called life, and they ain't touched nobody.
Right.
They ain't helped nobody. They leave out with a bad name, bad reputation.
Yeah,
you leave out with a mess.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a desire to
amen.
At least make a difference in one person's life?
That's good, preacher.
Amen? That's what this is about, is others. See, when God created this universe and created everything on this thing, everything he created was for others.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ever thought about that? Why did he put grass on the ground? To feed that cow. Why? So that cow could give milk. Why? So you could be healthy.
Yeah.
You never see an apple tree partaking of an apple.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yet Christianity today has come to that point.
Yeah.
Everything just kind of circles right around the little building they got, and they just big. They grow bigger to build bigger, to grow bigger to build bigger.
That's right, bro.
Everything that we do as a child of God is to benefit others. Amen. Well, you're down here and you're supporting this church, and you're here tonight, and a sweet fellowship. And I don't say that. I don't. Brother Mike knows me. I don't really. If I say something, it's pretty well settle down in my heart. I'm not one to do a lot of boot licking, you know. But you come down here, well, in the morning, it will be your goal to go back out into wherever you work, the community, the neighborhood, and be a blessing to somebody in the name of Christ. Remember the water he said, if you give a drink of water in my name? Amen. Find somebody needing some help and help them. Find somebody that's down and out and help them. I remember the little fellow that got hit on the lawnmower. He, I think, right around the first time he ever come, he was up here preaching. Remember that, me and Brother Sam? And help somebody like that. Don't criticize them.
Yes, sir.
You don't know what made them like
that's
that.
Right.
And I think I've preached it up here before about these people standing on the street corner. I know 90% of them are bums.
Yeah, right.
But some of them is just messed up from the war,
right.
Messed up from being raised like they were raised.
Yeah,
amen? Is it going to hurt you to give them $10 to get them a hamburger? Well, he might go buy a bottle of wine. Well, he'll be happy a little bit. So the wine's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking that lightly, but I don't run them down. I don't criticize them. Especially if I see a young lady on the side of the road. That woman, that bothers me big time. But as a preacher, I can't stop and do nothing about it. Because then I'm out here picking up women on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And buddy, the devil would make sure that got around the country too.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, well, he could work. Some folks can't work.
That's right. Yeah, right.
Some folks don't have the mental capability to work.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't do it. Some of them come out of them wars over there, and their minds are so messed up. Some of them just a heartbreak. We had a guy live by the church down there, and when he was around 20, 21 year old, Miss Kay's brother, He had a house trailer, and it burnt with his wife and baby in it. And he done whatever that drama thing is. He checked out and never checked back in. And he just roamed the streets. And one time he caught a ride in a tractor and trailer and ended up in Tennessee, and they didn't know where he was at. He'd take quarters on his side of his head right here because he could hear radio waves, he said. Well, he'd get out and work. He's a healthy man. No, he couldn't. He couldn't even tie his shoes. He had no sense. You got to be careful with that.
That's right.
Amen? Be careful with that. God might give you one of them. Amen?
That's good.
To minister to. So I want to show you this tonight on some things that we'll find out of the reading of Scripture that I just read. The first thing in order for you to have a successful Christian life, it's got to be a Christ-centered life.
Yes, it does.
See what he said there in verse 7, the first part of it? If you abide in me. Now, abiding in me is more than just being saved. Abiding in me is everything you do, think, say, is centered around what Christ would think about it. Would this be pleasing to the Lord? And I know in my own personal life, when I first got saved, everything was measured by what God thought about it. But as we get in this thing and get on down the road a little bit, we kind of start taking some liberties, you know. And that don't mean you're out drinking and all that. But God starts blessing you, and you got a little money, you know, and stuff like that. Next thing you know, you've got off on the wrong road there and got in the wrong lane and realize, you know, I don't think Christ is in this. We got a boy, he ain't in my church no more, but he was raised. We kept him in our house for a while. I can't say much. I think it's being broadcast. But he would get out, and he'd buy all kind of sound equipment, TV, big giant TV, man, surround sound. And then he'd get convicted about it, sell every bit of it, and give it away. And then next thing you know, about a year or two later, he'd done got a bunch of other stuff like that. Then he'd get in a good meeting, God touch his heart, he'd sell every bit. He said, ain't nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong with this little television sitting there that you're looking at? Don't even be looking at much of it, no way.
Yeah.
Amen. Why do you need surround sound? You ain't got but two ears. You don't need but two speakers. You can't hear it in the back of your head, no way. I mean, stuff on there now, I ain't interested in hearing it to start with. But it's got to be a Christ-centered life. It's got to be something that you examine the Spirit of God and God, is this what I need? God, is this what will help me? Would this hinder me, Lord? Would this interrupt my walk with you, Father?
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep your mind on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to live a Christ-centered life apart from the Spirit of God's leading.
That's right.
You got to let the Spirit of God lead you. And, amen? And I don't know about you. God don't talk to me verbal.
Yeah.
He did Oral Roberts, you know, and showed up at the foot of his bed and all that. He showed up at the foot of my bed. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Him and Miss Meyer can do what they want to do or have it out or whatever. I'm on my way. But God don't do that. But you know when you're walking with the Lord and you got a Christ-centered life, they just things inside of you said, this ain't right. Something ain't right about this.
That's exactly right.
And that's called discernment.
Yeah, right.
And many of God's people don't have much discernment. And that's what you want. You want some discernment of the Lord. In other words, I shouldn't be over there. I shouldn't be in this crowd. You go to work, you start hanging out. Some of you young people, you get in these hamburger joints or wherever you're working. And next thing you know, you've kind of just moved over. Next thing you know, you're hanging out in the parking lot after the place closed. Next thing you know, you're on a date with one of them heathens. Amen. Heathen. Pure heathen. If a woman or a young girl only knew how a boy thought.
Yeah. Amen.
You dig you a hole and get in and pull the top over on you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's some good godly ones. But God made us the aggressor.
Yeah.
We're the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the prey.
Mm-hmm.
I say we. My hunting license expired a long time ago. They took him away from me. I just like to sit and hear the hounds run right now. I got to quit acting a fool and get on here. But your life don't only need to be Christ-centered, it needs to be Christ-centered in faith. In other words, you need to have faith in order to finish this thing right.
You're
the
right.
Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Yep.
Everything. And you have no clue, most of you, how much faith it takes for you to just operate in this world. I mean, the minor things that holds up a vehicle, and I might have used this here. You got a steering shaft. Anybody works on cars, you got a little steering shaft with what they call a rag joint. That's a piece of rubber. That controls a whole car. It's got four bolts. Got two bolts here and two bolts here. You got a shaft there. It's about as big as my little finger. And you run down the road 80 miles an hour, talking on the phone, fixing your hair, taking the rollers out, slamming on your brakes.
Yeah.
And, boy, you got a grip on it. No, you don't.
Yeah.
And then you got to trust that nut next to you. That they ain't running down the road 90 miles an hour on the phone, taking hair rollers out. But also a Christ-centered is a life full of purpose and a life full of practice.
Yes, sir.
You got to have a purpose. Romans 8:28.
That's right.
I wonder tonight, I'd like to challenge you to get a purpose.
Yeah, that's
get a
good
purpose
good.
In life. Yeah. Your purpose in life shouldn't be to just show up at church here.
That's right. That's right.
Thank God for it, but this is simply a fueling station. That's all this
amen.
Is.
Amen.
You come in here and get gassed up and hit the road, amen?
Yeah, right.
And go out into highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Churches are built on you inviting folks.
Yes,
churches is built on you inviting families.
Yes, sir.
That's why it's so important as I preach this morning or talk this morning about your testimony.
Yes, sir.
It's real important to keep a good testimony. Because
yes,
one day, some of your family members are going to fall on hard times, hardship, or death, and you're going to be able to walk over, knock on that door, and say, I know you're going through a hard time, but we'd like to invite you down to the church.
Yes, sir.
Could you come down? Could my preacher come and talk to you? You got to have a Christ-centered life.
Amen.
The next thing, you got to have a Bible-anchored life.
Yes.
Look what it says there. It says in my verse, that's chapter 7, the part B. I've pretty well dissected this whole verse. He said, in my word abide in you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to base what you're doing and what you believe on what's in this book.
Yes, sir.
This book won't change.
Yeah.
And I preached on that this morning about that rock. That their rock will change on you. What's going on in our schools wasn't going on when we were in school. Teachers, when I went to school, could not wear pants. All our teachers had to wear dresses. It's probably that way up here back in your day. Had prayer every morning over the speaker system. Y'all remember that? Now, young kids can't even imagine that. A young kid can't even imagine a world without a cell phone.
Right.
I lived in a world without a phone, period.
Yeah, right.
Nothing but a cell phone. There wasn't even no phone. I lived in a world without electricity until 1954. There was a big old river there, and people where we lived on the other side of the river, they didn't trust it because it done burnt down two or three houses. You know, when they first come in and wiring them houses, they had to hang them on the outside and had wires twisted together, no light hanging out of the center, you know, with a pull cord on it, and probably y'all probably still got some around here like that. But they'd burn the houses down, so the people didn't trust electricity. That was a bad thing. In 1954, I think we finally got it in the house that I was raised in. Never did have indoor plumbing. Amen? Got a little outhouse out there. Very unpleasant place to visit. You didn't hang around in there and watch your... Watch your smartphone. You didn't hang around down there and read books either. Praise God, you got your visit done and on your way. Trying to hold your breath for that minute or two. But you got to have a Bible-anchored life. Everything that concerns us, everything that we're involved in, every decision we make, needs to be, thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
What does God think about it? What does God say about it? Is God pleased with this? And people get aggravated with me because sometimes I'll be talking to somebody, well, I seem to have a verse for everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all like, I do.
Yeah.
What the Bible said, what the Bible said. You always talking about the Bible. Well, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Now, did I memorize the Bible? No. But somehow you get that in your heart. It's like a silo on a farm. You get that harvest up and put in that silo.
Yeah.
You don't even realize you got it. You don't know that's in there. You don't know what's in there.
Yes,
but if you need something for your cows, you say, oh, yeah, the silo. We'll go out there and get that out of there.
Yeah.
And that's what it is when, about that word up here, that Bible anchored life.
Yeah.
You put that in. You
yes,
say, well, I don't think I'm learning nothing. You'd be amazed what's
yes,
in there.
Sir.
You'd be amazed what God will pull out.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Just soak yourself in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Soak yourself in that book.
Exactly.
I've got up to preacher many a time with a sermon, a little outline of some sort. And in the process of, I know Brother Mike has and Brother Martin has, in the process of preaching, God starts showing you things out of what you,
yes,
the scriptures
sir.
You got wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
And you never seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let me say, it's got to go in here first.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
It ain't got to go up here.
Yeah.
It's got to go in here. And then when it comes time to draw it out, you got some stuff in there.
Okay, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm scared to witness because I don't know no Bible. Why don't you?
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't have to know but John 3:16.
Yeah.
There's enough gospel in John 3:16 to win the world.
That's right. Amen.
Exactly right.
When I first started out, I learned quite a bit about my Bible right off the bat. I believe I talked some people into salvation and went right on and talked them out of it. Well, you won't tell them everything you knew, you know, and all they need to know is they was lost and need to be saved. That's all they need to know. But, man, I'd want to make sure that they knew that what it was about. And sure, it probably got so complicated that I don't think I can ever get that. So they just move on, you know. But you got to have a Christ-centered life in verse 7 of John 15. You got to have a Bible-anchored life in verse 7. Part B, but you also got to have a prayer-supported life.
Yeah, that's good.
Look in verse 7, the last part of it. The Bible says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done.
Yeah,
now, there's conditions to these prayers. Thank God for the Nehemiah prayer. Help, Lord. Thank God for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll work most of the time. But I'm telling you what, it's good to have a prayer life.
Yes, sir.
It's good to have sweet fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to, when you pray, it just, you know, it went somewhere.
Yeah.
Kind of refreshing to get down and pray and ask God to bless things or God to watch over things or God to protect us. I run probably a million miles at least in my ministry, and you catching up. And I don't know about the mess. Some of you drive for a living. You got how blessed you are that you ain't been in a wreck 10 or 15 times? You know what the devil would like to do? Kill every one of us.
Yeah.
Kill every one of us. We come up on a wreck coming up here, and I don't even think the police were there yet. That's how close you are to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you just, I don't know about you, but prayer.
Yes, sir.
And it says there, we have a privilege of prayer. You shall ask. Not when you ask or if you ask.
Yeah.
You shall ask.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to God and say, God, I need to pray. Could you set up a time that I could meet you somewhere?
Right.
And if you got an opening, God.
Yeah.
We ain't got to go in a building and look through a knot hole at a knot head.
Right. Yeah, right.
Confess our sins to somebody more wicked than what we are.
That's right.
We don't have to do that.
God
gave us a special place. He didn't give nobody else except the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the throne of grace.
Yes, sir.
And we can go to that anytime, anywhere.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And just go to our knees and have the privilege of prayer. And it said, ye shall ask. Now, he didn't say, I will answer.
Mm-hmm.
But he does answer all prayers.
That's right.
Sometimes they just ain't the way we want them.
That's right. Right.
Amen. I believe he don't answer all prayers because he can get you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to talk to you.
That's good.
Amen. Yeah, so. But I'm going to tell you now, I'm 78 years old. I'm down the road a while. And I prayed a lot of things that I thank God you did not answer those.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about the car I prayed for 30 days and God told me no for 30 days. So what'd you do? Went and bought it anyway. What'd you do with it? It's set in the yard. Tore up. Gave it about a year, paid the notes on it about a year. Might have drove it to church one time. It was a Fifth Avenue, 85 Chrysler Fifth Avenue. That was a big luxury car. Well, I wanted me a man of God car. Well, evidently I wasn't as much a man of God as I thought it was, because God never let me have the car. Finally, I sold that thing for $40 more than I owed on it. And that broke me. When God says no,
yeah,
no.
Amen.
And Pastor, in all those years, people would get to wanting to do something. Well, if they thought I'd agree with them, they'd come and talk to me.
Yeah, right.
You know, they'd let me be in on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't think that I would, I'd say, no, you don't need to be messing with that. You don't need to be involved in that. You don't need to do that. Then they never would say nothing to you. It's the same way here. They go buy whatever they want to buy in 3 months. It's a mess. Well, pray for so-and-so. I got took. Yeah, you got took because you didn't obey God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, brother. Usually when God says no about one certain thing, he got a better deal down the road.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. He got something better down there for you. Mm-hmm. Usually at a better price.
Yeah, right.
Amen. You got to have a prayer-supported life. We have a privilege of prayer, but you need a preference of prayer. Say, what is that? He says, ask what you will. Mm-hmm. You can go to God for anything. Yeah. Pray about anything. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to bother him. He wants to be bothered.
Right.
Your little baby that you got, like the little baby sitting there back yonder, he don't mind bothering. She don't mind bothering her mother over everything. I mean, to put the pacifier back in my mouth.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. That's the way we're to be with God. Mm-hmm. God don't mind us asking him.
Right.
God don't. He'll take time to answer to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only you got the privilege of prayer, the preference of prayer, but you got the power of prayer.
Yeah.
Look what it says there, and it shall be done, period. Mm-hmm. Amen? There's some of you sitting here tonight. That you're sitting here and you where you at because you prayed and God said it shall be done. Some of you prayed and got the church to pray and it didn't get done right then. But on down the road it got done. You done forgot about praying about it. And what'll blow your mind sometime, and we've done that at church, put it on a prayer list, pray for it. And whoever we're praying for and about whatever we're praying for, they come to church shouting it out, and they can't believe God answered the prayer.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pray believing.
Yeah.
What the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And kind of like the three black fellas that showed up to pray for prayer, and all but one of them brought an umbrella. Mm-hmm. And the other two said, you didn't bring an umbrella? He said, no, I thought we were going to pray for rain. He said, well, you ain't going to do much good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Gonna meet and pray for rain, you better have umbrella with you.
Yeah.
Well, they sent him back home.
Yeah.
Amen. You gotta have a prayer supported life, a Bible anchored life, and a Christ centered life. But the next thing you need in order to finish this thing right, you gotta have a fruit bearing life.
Yeah.
Amen. Many, 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 many people are gonna show up at the judgment seat of Christ without any fruit. Now, I believe in soul winning, but they are another fruit in the Bible other than soul winning.
That's right.
They fruit there for works.
Mm-hmm.
You can bear fruit for works, for obedience,
mm-hmm.
for answering the call. And thank God for souls, and souls, I believe, in the Bible is called a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can show up with 50 people you won to the Lord, but yet you lived a wicked, ungodly life, you probably lose every reward you got. This book wins souls. You don't win souls. This scripture wins souls. Amen? You go out with this scripture down in your heart. You might not have to memorize it word by word, but you're telling them the story of Jesus, and you're telling them that God gave his son to die for your sins. And amen. And you're telling them that if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ain't even quoted a verse. But if they'll believe that, they can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So you want a fruit-bearing life. Fruit-bearing honors others. Look what it says here. Herein is my Father glorified. It's never to be done to bring glory to you.
That's right.
Whatsoever thou do, whether thou eat or drink or whatsoever, do all to the glory of God. Always to the glory of God. Amen? I went and saw a neighbor for the glory of God.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We done this or that for the glory of God. We built a church down there and added on to the church and changed the sanctuary. Why'd you do that? You didn't do that to be in the store of the Lord. You done that to have your nice building that people could come. I believe the church building ought to be the nicest. I believe the yards ought to be manicured. I believe the hedges ought to be manicured. Because when that world passes up and down the street in front of the church, they're going to judge this church by how it looks. Amen? You see, it's but a building. Well, right now, it's a sanctuary. When we leave here after a while, it go back to be a building. And brother, the devil will move in and stay till Wednesday night. He likes hanging around these places. Amen? But you got to have a fruit-bearing life. And it should bother you that you don't have fruit.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not a good soul winner. I've never been a good soul winner. I've had people saved. But I'm not a good soul. I don't know. Just my appearance irritates people. Now, my wife can go with me, and we'll at least get 2 or 3 minutes at the door. But I knock on a door. Wham, bam. I mean, lay it out on me. Tell me it ain't none of my business whether they're saved or not. I mean, just chew me up one side and down the other. But she can go with me, and they'll kindly hang around a minute or two, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you can have fruits other than souls.
That's right.
You can have the fruit of just helping somebody.
That's
I had a friend that his wife got saved. He got saved, and well, he spent 30 years in Greece as a missionary. His wife got saved. They moved into the community, and some of the ladies in the community, Christian ladies, baked a pie or a cake or something and brought it over and set it on her porch. And that kindness touched her heart, and I think they started going to church with them people or something and got saved. But Larry Theros, Larry and Judy, just an act of kindness.
That's right.
So, well, I can't do nothing. I'm at home all the time. You can pray. You can bake some cookies. You know, every neighborhood in this country has got elderly in it that can't do nothing no more. They can't cut their yards no more. They can't trim the rushes. Some of them can't get out and even go shopping. Miss Meyer takes care of a lady. She's 86. She has nobody to take care of her. You can do something.
Yes, sir.
The other day, there's a young couple. They're struggling pretty hard and ain't got no money. Needs brakes on the back of the car and set of tires. I said, I went and bought the brakes and told them to come over to the house. I put the brakes on. I'm a mechanic by trade. And I called somebody that I knew in the tire business, and he gave them 2 brand-new Firestones.
Amen.
Amen? You can help somebody.
Yes, sir.
Help somebody struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't care where you're at today, unless you were born into money or left a big inheritance, every couple sitting in here today struggled when you started out.
Amen.
I mean, you lived in an old run-down house of some sort, drove an old car.
You're right.
You struggle, and then, but God blessed you, and your job has blessed you, and your income has been good, and you know, and but don't look. Hey, don't forget where you come from.
That's right. Yep.
Look where you come from.
And,
Miss Meyer lived in a little basement apartment, and the ceiling was 6'3". I 6'2". I'd knock the light bulb out of the top of it every time. I'd forget about the light bulb. Every time. Old Tyler, he couldn't even live there with us no more if he was there. But we don't live in that apartment no more. We live in a nice home. We drive nice vehicles. I have a nice car. And then I have a nice several cars. I got so many cars one time, the state kept sending me notices, wanting to know if I had insurance on all of them. Well, I did. But, thank God I got saved. Fruit bearing honors others, and that's what you want to do. You don't ever.
Yeah.
Fruit bearing also benefits others.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad the person that came to your house?
Yeah.
Ain't you glad the person that invited you to church?
That's right.
Ain't you glad the one that dealt with you when you was ugly and hateful and they just kept a coming? When you was irritated and threatened to whip them, throw them off the porch and everything else, they just kept coming. Ain't you glad?
That's good.
Ain't you glad that preacher prayed and prepared himself and prayed for the touch of God on your life that you fell under conviction under his preaching?
Yeah.
It always benefits others.
Yeah.
Always.
Amen.
This church is not here. This is not Brother Carpenter's church.
Right.
This is Hopewell Baptist Church.
Right.
God chose to let him be your pastor.
Right.
Now, I kindly know churches by pastors' names, and that ain't disrespectful. You know, I hardly know any names in churches that I go. But I know how he feels about it. I felt the same way. This is not his church. This is God's church. And if he decides he wants to leave, God will put somebody else in here.
Amen.
We tried to get him down to Glory Land. He wouldn't come. I think he's out of the will of God right now. We tried to find out what he's making up here. We're going to up it about $20,000. So boy's passing his little country church and struggling. And he got a letter from a big church uptown. Offered him about twice what he was getting in that little church. And he told his wife, he said, I'm going to have to pray about this. He said, I tell you what, honey, you go ahead and be packing. I'm going to go out here in the barn and pray.
Yeah.
We had about five people that won't know what it paid down there.
Yeah.
Before they ever found out what it was about.
Yeah, right. God help.
Yeah, I know. Fruit bearing identifies us with Christ. You know, the lost world don't go around telling people about Jesus. The lost world don't pray over their meal in a restaurant.
That's good,
amen. You want some fruit. I want some fruit.
Yeah, amen.
When I go to the judgment seat of Christ, I want some fruit. I want to be made a difference. I want a touch. And I got drawers and I got four boxes full of letters from through the years. And my office dresser desk drawer is full of people. Thank you, Brother Charlie. Your preaching helped me. Got a picture the other day from a young couple in Florida. They couldn't have babies. They were married about 15 years, couldn't have no babies. And I was down there one time, and they wanted me to pray for them, pray over them. They sent me a picture of their baby. Now, did I do anything? I don't think so. It was their faith.
Yeah.
Us preachers don't have we don't have nothing you ain't got. We don't.
Amen.
We don't have a touch that you can't have.
Yeah, right.
We don't have an anointing that you can't have.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
But I know the prayer is a great thing to get the touch of God on your life. And I've been in meetings through the years, and the Indians was real bad about this, and it ain't a bad thing. But you'd have the same young people. Now, this is not only the Indians, and I didn't say which ones, but you'd have people, the same boys would come three and four times during the meeting wanting you to pray over them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And I don't mind. That's an honor to me
They
have that trust. That's an honor. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a little cup of honey we can put in the back of your head, and you're going to hit the ground running and be a great man of God.
Right.
You know how you become great for God? Is down.
Yeah. It's good.
Stay down.
Mm-hmm.
Get down. Amen? Don't be a peacock.
Yeah.
I preached a message. Oh, I didn't ever preach. I didn't have a guts to preach nowhere, but I worked up a message on peacocks in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably before I get dead, it'll probably get preached somewhere because I don't care no more. I done been everywhere and done everything. It don't bother me no more. But let me show you the last thing about this successful Christian life. Of all the things I preach to you tonight, the Christ-centered life, the Bible-anchored life, the prayer-supported life, the fruit-bearing life, that life has to be motivated by only one thing, and that's love. We're independent, Bible-believing Baptists. And if we're not careful, we'll get so militant that we don't share the love of Christ.
Amen.
We macho, we big, we tough.
That's true.
But you know what people need today? They need to know somebody loves them.
Amen. Right.
You go to them because you love them. Right. Not because you think they're a wicked, ungodly sinner right. dying and going to hell. You knock on the door of your neighbors and say, I want to tell you about Jesus because I love you.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, you might love them not in the way that you love your closest friend, but they're your neighbor. And God tells us to love thy neighbor. He said it 8 times in the New Testament. I was preaching down at Brother Tim Fleur's years ago and Brother Jim Fleur. He had a neighbor. Is this being broken?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's nothing bad. But anyway, he had a neighbor, and him and his neighbor didn't get along real good. Y'all know Brother Jim. You know, he's quite a character himself.
Yeah.
And I preached that message, and he come to the altar. And I preached on love thy neighbor. And he said that touched his heart so bad, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't do nothing. So he started befriending his neighbor over the fence, you know. And before, I mean, they didn't even get within 20 foot of each other. He'll tell you about this if he ever comes back. He started befriending him and got closer to him, got to talking to him, and got, you know, pretty friendly, invited him over for supper, and won both of them to the Lord.
Amen.
And they're in church there, Brother Tim.
That's good.
Amen. God told you to love your neighbor. He didn't tell you to fight over 2 foot of property.
Right, right.
He didn't tell you to fight over a driveway.
You're right, bro.
You love them.
Yep. That's good. God helps.
We moved out there in our house where we're at now about 30-something years ago, and a little lady next door, her daughter owned that house, and she lost it due to problems. And me and Meyer, we were working in the yard, and she's an old woman, real Norwegian woman. And she come over and cussed me. I ain't talking about fuss. She said words I hadn't, on the last time I heard them, I was in the bar. Cussed me out, accused me of stealing her property. Accused me of moving them rocks closer to her house. Ain't about 200 of them. I ain't moved them nowhere. But you know that little lady, she got sick with cancer. She come over and knocked on my door one day, and she said, Mr. Andrews, I want to apologize to you. She said, I didn't treat you right or something like that. And she asked me to forgive her, and she said, can I hug your neck? Did I fuss and fight with her? No.
Amen.
Did I go yang back and forth? No. We just kept going doing what we're doing.
Amen.
She come over and hugged my neck. She said, can I hug your neck? And she hugged my neck. She died probably 2 or 3 months after that. But you got to have your life, got to be motivated by love. Now, love for what? Love for Christ.
Yep.
But you know what needs to motivate you? It's not your love for Christ. It's Christ's love for you.
Yeah.
Did Paul not say there in verse 14? He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. You know what Paul couldn't get over? That what he done and how he lived, God still loved him.
Yeah, amen.
He was a persecutor of the church.
Yeah,
he killed the Christians right at the first there before he got struck on the road to Damascus. And yet God still loved him. You know, if you'd ever sit down for 5 minutes and realize that God loves you, not your love for God, your love for God is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot 1 week and cold the next. It's sweet sometime, and sometime it never crosses your mind.
Yep.
It's going to change. Mm-hmm. But when you realize how much God loved you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, what constrained Paul, what kept Paul going, what kept Paul getting beatings and getting up and everything, was how much Christ loved him.
Mm.
And some of you old dope heads in here, just sitting here tonight, dressed up, looking nice. Your family's still with you. Your wife didn't leave you. Your kids turned out to be good. You need to thank God.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like it is if it hadn't been for God and his love for you.
Thank you, Lord.
They probably several families in here right now that wouldn't be together if it wasn't for getting in church and getting saved. I don't think me and Miss Meyer would be. Some little lady asked Meyer, said, how long y'all been married? Oh, well, not all my life yet, but... Well, I ain't died, but 54 years. Amen? It's pretty easy as she got right with God. Had time with her. Finally, she got straightened out. But you got your motivation, even to come to church, is I love God.
Yes.
I love God's people. Your motivation for trying to live right, raise your children right, because I love God. Amen. At the workplace, trying to witness, I love God. You know, when you fall in love with God, and you fall in love with God because He fell in love with you first. Remember Romans chapter 5, verse 8? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
You know, we wicked and ungodly, Brother Martin. God loved us.
Yeah.
And I get around sometime getting these good meetings back when I was running so much. And I think, you know, this thing's been going on since 1950. Mm-hmm. And what was I doing? I'd been a pure idiot.
Yeah.
When I could have been up here getting part of this company.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to be motivated by love. Christian, your love says, continue ye in my love. Conditional love. If you keep my commandments. That's some things that people are missing right there. Things that God, but salvation is conditional in the Lord.
Yeah.
Salvation, it's conditional, actually, whosoever's calling on the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But everything past that, all the promises, over 3,400 of them, I think, in the Bible, all of them is conditional. You think you're going to live like the devil and sit and open and keep your mouth open, your billfold open, and God's just going to flood it. That is not Scripture.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
And then constant love. He said, ye shall abide in my love. That's verse 10, second part. I don't know about you. I want to finish right.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting on down the road a little piece. My people live a long time, but I don't know, you know. I'm ready.
Amen.
Jesus Christ got my ticket out. He didn't let me hold it. He knew I'd probably misplace it or lose it, you know.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Lord.
Say, well, do you want to be forgotten when you die? It don't matter to me. I got a door named the Batcave. You know, I've done something for the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of these old preachers going on before us, and hardly ever in a meeting that you don't hear their names mentioned. Remember that? I mean, just but Jack Woods, one of them. His name gets mentioned so much.
Yeah.
In meetings, he's been dead 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Earl Hughes,
mm-hmm.
been dead a long time. You say, why? He made a difference.
Yes, sir.
He finished right.
Yes, sir.
And the greatest blessing you can leave your preacher here is for him to stand over your body one day and preach a good, solid Christian funeral. Instead of trying to whitewash things and clear things up. I wonder tonight, I don't know about you, and I've done said it 10 or 15 times, if you check these things out and you need to make some changes in certain parts of them, why don't you come tonight and say, God, help me. God, help me get in that book a little more. God, help me pray a little more. God, help me think about what Christ thinks about it before I get involved in it. You get off and get in stuff that God ain't nowhere about. Will He bless your mess? 9 out of 10 times He will if you'll repent and get right about it.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't sitting up there with a big hammer to knock you in the head every time you mess up. He's standing up there with open arms.
Yes, He is. Thank you, Lord.
With his heart broke because his children don't do right.
Yes, sir.
Just like you mamas and daddies.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. Same way you mamas and daddies. Just with a broken heart. I wonder tonight, if they come, Brother Carpenter, you come, get you singing up. I wonder tonight, would you be willing to come and pray? And if you got your life in a mess, would you be willing